And me, Jacqueline. Hey, everybody.
You've given up paid personhood.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Kathy. Can you all hear us, by the way? I'm not sure you're hearing us, so we'll just see. Okay, good, good, good. Welcome to Growing with NTI. Connie, you want to speak? Make sure they can hear you.
Kathy. Hey, March.
And Dove.
And Doug.
And Cheryl and Ken.
Cheryl and Ken and the man out there in Radio Land.
That's right. Okay, good. So you all hear Connie as well. Okay, sound is good. Very good. Thank you. Before we get into the reading, we will have a prayer. Connie and I did not discuss who was going to do the prayer. But she's pointing at me.
I'm a little wimpy tonight. I might not talk as much.
Yeah, bless your heart. Connie's a little under the weather. Connie's last name is Poole. She's my sister, Dove. Yeah, Connie Poole.
Hey, Doug.
So let's just have our prayer. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to teach what we would learn. Please help us have the grace to get out of the way so that we can hear the truth and so that we can pass that on. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yeah, Connie. There are two Connies, as you know, Connie Poole. There are two Connies. Connie Frazier read for me on Sunday.
I know.
Yeah. She's a sweetheart. You met her.
I thought people might confuse us and I'd get all the
No, no chance of that.
accolades.
Yeah. So, okay. So where we are is on page 379. We're reading from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Page 379, NTI 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verses 11 through 15. Yeah. So everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. And it is recognized as a gift if it is accepted in this way. But it cannot be seen as a gift when viewed with the measuring stick of personhood. For with that stick held firmly in your hand, you forget who you are and forget what you look like. Therefore, you do not recognize your gift and you separate yourself from it.
I guess that's from the personhood, you're looking at it, what advantage it has for you.
Yeah, is this good for the person or bad for the person?
Right.
And what that guy mean when he said that? I mean, we just try and give it meaning, and we do that looking through the filter of who we think we are, which is who we're not. Right? So certainly not, certainly from that personhood vantage point, everything is not going to seem like a gift, just the good stuff. Just the stuff
Yeah.
that's good for the person. Yeah.
Quote unquote good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And
was so cool about that Mr. Nobody.
yeah, say more about that, the movie Mr. Nobody.
Well, Mr. Nobody, for whatever reason, I'm not quite sure I got it, but he was living like three lives. And you realize at some point in the movie, they weren't all as happy as the next life. And you realized in the movie that didn't matter. It was just all experiences. no matter what was going on. It was just an experience. He was experiencing life, sometimes happier than others. But, it just didn't seem to matter.
Yeah, and in fact...
At least to me, it didn't matter, but it might have to him.
Well, actually, it didn't to him because at the end of that movie, the old main Nemo, the main character, was looking back, and the guy's like, "Yeah, but which one of these was the best?" or something like that. The interviewer.
Yeah, you're right.
And he said none of them. They were all, perfect. Everything turns out, even badly, which is a line that I really liked because, the point is, it's just experience. There is no good, there is no bad, there's just experience.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and Cheryl says, for example, the name Hitler has a lot of negative connotations when one sees separation. Jeff Fraser talks about that. He said somebody came up to him after one of his seminars or whatever, retreats, and said, "You're the reincarnation of Hitler, and you're misleading everybody, and you're total darkness, and you need to wake up and see this." And that was one of those moments when Jeff took the opportunity that you and I have often talked about in regard to Jeff and in regard to Byron Katie, where when somebody says you're a liar or you're mean or you're a murderer, you really can take the opportunity to look in and say, can I find those impulses within me? Because it's all occurring within us, right? So
he was looking for those impulses?
Jeff was when somebody called him Hitler, and he's like, I can find that murderous, bent in me. I mean, I've never killed anybody, but there's been times when I absolutely wanted to kill somebody. I refrain, but I absolutely wanted to do it. And just recognizing that, in the fundamentals, I'm no different from Hitler, I mean, he took it a little farther than I think this character would, but it's all one thing. Those impulses are there. I cannot separate myself from Hitler and go, he's one creature and I'm another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the gifts that they're talking about, everything is the gift, is that a gift of recognition, is it not?
Yeah, that it's all an expression, and it says that in the next paragraph. Let's read that next paragraph. Look on your gift and rejoice. It is an expression given by you. Its purpose is your own joy, as that is the purpose of freedom. Accept it in joy, and it is joy that you shall know. So whatever's going on outside of you, seemingly outside of you, first of all, is not outside of you, and second, is an expression of the freedom that is you. It's that expression of the what Regina calls the third principle of God, or the creative principle. This is, we're having an experience, and it's one experience, because there's only one of us having an experience. That experience seems to carry with it the illusion of multiple selves who are all having different experiences. But this is saying, no, this is your experience, you consciousness. This is your experience. Hitler and Mary Poppins and Mother Teresa, right? That's the human experience. There's only one human experience. There's only one thing experiencing, and that is consciousness. So if you look out there and you go, oh, it's woe is me, it's them versus me, and my individual stuff isn't going so well, you're continuing to believe in the illusion. You're continuing to experience it that way. But if you can do what Jeff did with the Hitler thing and go, oh, yes, I do see that as part of this universal experience that I'm having. I mean, that's what's being, you know, then you get to rejoice in the gift that's given, that we have the freedom to do that. To create seemingly multiple experiences. Yeah, Kathy says the illusion of singularity. Exactly, yeah. Hey, Meg.
Hey, Meg.
Meg says, hey.
Do we need this now?
No, not what. Yeah, I have to wait.
Oh, is that Connie?
Electric, yeah. You want to say hi to Connie?
Hi, Connie.
Tom's here. Hey, everybody, Tom's here.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
I've got your couch occupied.
Cheryl says, hey.
Hi.
Okay, so, yeah, I'll just save it after.
Right.
As you can see, the electric's back on. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, let's read the next line, if you're ready. We are poor baby.
Sorry.
Aw. We are on page 379, middle of the page, verses 17 through 20. Your reward is secure in heaven, and heaven is within your mind now. Heaven is within your mind now.
Heaven's not a place.
Heaven's not a place. Yeah, heaven is. You know, we have to have words to talk about this. But and the other interesting part of this is that there's several, but it's within your mind now. It's not something that you'll earn down the road. It's not something that you'll discover down the road. Heaven is now. And in your mind certainly signifies that heaven is heaven. Sorry, I got distracted momentarily. That there's only one thing going on. So by saying in heaven is in your mind, it's clearly signifying that there's nothing outside of you.
Clearly signifying what?
That there's nothing outside of you. What's going on? You having a hard time hearing me?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Huh, I don't think I can turn this up anymore. What have we done in the past about that? Maybe turn your volume up, Connie?
It got clearer whatever you did. Okay.
Okay, good. Kathy, heaven is a place.
I can't hear you all.
You can't? Okay, hang on, y'all. You were hearing me a moment ago, so I don't know what changed.
I can barely hear you.
Turn
it's
your.
Like you're whispering.
Yeah, turn that thing up the other way. I think you might have turned it down. Okay. So, your reward is secure in heaven, and heaven is. All right. Your reward is secure in heaven, and heaven is within your mind now. Heaven is not earned. Heaven is with you, and the awareness of heaven is chosen.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But you shall not know heaven if you choose to separate yourself from it, for heaven is looking at you now as the expression of your own freedom.
You okay, Jacqueline?
Getting a lot of feedback from your end, so just it stopped now. Sound like you were holding the phone up to the fan or something. Doing it again. Maybe go in your bedroom. Yeah, too bad. I'm sorry, fellas.
It's too bad.
It's coming and going. It's just a roar.
Well, why don't I just listen with everybody else on the
no.
Alto.
Yeah, Cheryl says it sounds like a rainstorm. No, don't listen. I'll just quit fretting about it. And we'll just see how we can do. Yeah, so it's clearly a choice. It's where we want to direct our attention, right? I mean, it's what we've been seeing over and over again. Heaven is with you, and the awareness of heaven is chosen. But you shall not know heaven if you choose to separate yourself from it. That's also a choice. That's your other choice. For heaven is looking at you now as the expression of your own freedom. Partiality and favoritism are ticks on the measuring stick of personhood, but love is of all things. Therefore, I urge you to love all things, and you will willingly agree to lay down your personhood.
Is that an if-then statement?
Tell me what you mean.
Then, sorry?
Yeah, but well, tell me. Say more.
I'm just saying, is that sentence number two there? It says, therefore I urge you to love all things. And if you do, or if you willingly agree to lay down your... that will happen if you willingly lay down your personhood or if you...
Or vice versa.
Love all things.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. That's an if then. Therefore I urge you to love all things, and you will willingly agree to lay down your personhood. I mean, it's the same thing we said when we started. It's like, it's the difference between seeing all things as expression of the freedom that we are, or going, hey, this is good for me, or this is bad for me, because measuring it through the eyes of the person perpetuates that illusion of separation. And if you're fully participating in the illusion of separation, you will not see that heaven is here, right now. You're going to miss that. Right?
I'm having to read your lips a little bit.
That's really bad. Do you want to hang up and go to Pal Talk?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 22, bottom of page 379. Do not judge a symbol of expression as better than you or less than you, for all expression is the same. To judge is to forget that the expression you experience is one. To judge is to believe in the false image of personhood. Yeah, what we just talked about.
So what do you think it's talking about, the symbol of expression? The way you express yourself?
No, I think it's talking about Connie as a symbol of expression, and Jacqueline as a symbol of expression, and love, and Cheryl, and yeah.
Okay. All right, that makes more sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Do not be hard on yourself with rules and expectations that you believe you must follow. For to be gentle with them but harsh with yourself is to separate and maintain the concept of personhood. It's interesting because to me this feels like a review. You and I have talked about that in this hour many, many times.
Yeah.
There are either rules or they're not. And it doesn't matter whether you're holding other people up to your idea of what's a perfect whatever, friend, wife, partner. Whether you're holding yourself up with it.
This time it's okay for them to do that, but last time it wasn't.
Well, Well, and this is particularly saying, even if you go, okay, they're just being freedom of expression, they can do whatever they want to do, but I've got some standards, and I'm, by God, I'm going to go by these standards. You know, it's just like, you know, there are no rules to this.
Yeah, I do that all the time with traffic stuff. Yeah, they're not doing that right, but I'm doing it the right way. And then you find you're doing stuff not doing it the right way, and you go, well, where did that concept go?
Right. Yeah, now what? Yeah, but it's all an attempt, whether you're judging yourself or judging others, it's all a perpetuation of this belief in separateness.
Belief in personhood.
Yes, and you know, even if that didn't feed into the collective consciousness, and you know, you feed back, you know, what you feed in, you get back out. That whole loop of consciousness. We all create the experience that we're having, even if it didn't do that, which it does. We still suffer the effects of that belief in separateness. Poor Connie. She's reading my lips, y'all. I had to mouth poor Connie. You know, this is a perfect example. See, Connie thinks this is me, and I am pretty damn sure it's her.
Just did this for our viewers.
Yeah, this is
our listeners.
It's all a show.
We just want to have a perfect demonstration.
Yes. All right. Again, I'm going to read these last two paragraphs. Do not judge a symbol of expression as better than you or less than you, for all expression is the same. To judge is to forget that the expression you experience is one. To judge is to believe in the false image of personhood. Do not be hard on yourself with rules and expectations that you believe you must follow. For to be gentle with quote-unquote them, but harsh with yourself, is to separate and maintain the concept of personhood. Be gentle with it all, for it is all expression. Through the expression of gentleness, the experience of expression shall be gentle also. Yeah, and I guess, goodness, I guess that's what I was trying to say. A moment ago, you know, not only does it perpetuate the illusion of personhood for everyone, but we are going to have the immediate effects of experiencing ourselves as persons.
Immediate effect of what? Great.
Experiencing ourselves as persons.
Yeah.
Yeah, you deny yourself the gift of seeing that it's all joyful because it's all the expression of the one being, which is what we are. Right.
Whether you're being hard on your brother or whether you're being hard on yourself,
yes.
It's a denial of it.
It's a denial of it, and it's going to feel like crap.
Right.
Right? Because you're going to be attached to outcomes.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. You're gonna suffer from the I am bad thought. There'll be world ups, there'll be downs. You know, that's the whole point. The whole point in my mind of being enlightened is to go, oh, this is all experience. You know, ooh, that one didn't work out very well for that character, did it? Ha, this is all experience. Isn't it great? And, you know, and I told you that I certainly had that experience, that revelation at that Enlightenment Intensive with Anne, where it was just like, experience, yay! Didn't matter what it was, good or bad. It was just like, yes, this is so juicy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, why shouldn't we live our life that way?
Yeah, because we think we...
I mean, just with the recognition, that should start coming, right?
With the continued recognition, yes, I think so. I think it's about the consistency, you know?
It's about what?
About the consistency.
Oh, consistency.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I was telling you... hey, Debbie. Debbie just joined us.
Hey, Debbie.
It's like I was telling you, I was just served with these foreclosure papers yesterday. And last night I woke up in the middle of the night and, you know, thinking about, oh, well, you know, what happens if this, you know, financially, blah, 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 all these different scenarios playing out in my head and looking up stuff on the internet. And, you know, so for 3 hours, maybe just 2 of those hours, I was trying to work out, you know, what's best for me in this situation, and with no thought there anywhere of maybe you just need to let go of your grip on this, maybe you need to take a step back, maybe you don't need to be up, awake, panicked, looking for things on the internet at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and when you find yourself in the grips of those things, they're hard to let go of.
They are. So it's one thing.
So if we can practice that outside of that grip, it seems like it make that easier, less suffering.
Yeah, well, there would certainly be less suffering. I mean, finally I went, oh! Finally I said, how would you have me see this? You know, and it was like, I'd have you put it down, you know. See the wind blowing in the trees, chill out, you know. So those might not have been the precise words, but they're pretty close. So again, you know, just that consistent willingness to recognize that I'm caught up in what's best for the person. I'm caught up in seeing myself as a person as opposed to the people who work for Wells Fargo Bank. Yeah. So and frankly upon recognizing that, now I've dipped back in and out of that today, been on the phone with the lawyer and whatnot, but frankly a great deal of the anxiety, the fretfulness disappeared just on remembering to turn away from it, to focus my attention. Not go, I deny it, and this can't hurt me, and, you know, because, I mean, it's like it's a recognition, yeah, you know, this is causing me distress. What would you have me do now? The willingness to turn and say, what experience would you have me have? Well, how would you have me see this? You know, all of those inner Ramana questions. You know, that's all we can do is turn and ask. But in turning, that's all we can do is turn and ask, how would you have me be now? And simply doing that, you know, a burden's lifted.
Yeah.
You know, it's the reminder. First of all, you don't have to participate in it. You don't have to perpetuate it. You don't have to believe that it's got some kind of hold on you that can...
And it really is a call for the miracle.
Yeah. Yeah, that shift in perception.
Yes, that there's another way of seeing this experience.
Yeah. It's a gift.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I think we came full circle there.
So, be gentle with it all, for it is all expression. Through the expression of gentleness, the experience of expression shall be gentle also. You know, you do this but unto yourself. Let go of the measuring stick. Release the belief in personhood. See one expression as an expression. Accept it in joy and gratitude. Expression is merely that which it is. Expression. And expression is experienced as it is expressed. And it is expressed just as you accept it to be. Yeah, and Cheryl points out letting go of the measuring stick equals letting go of the judgment of the experience. Yeah, just letting it be.
That sentence. Can you address that for me?
I will try. The last sentence?
The second part of the last sentence.
And expression is experienced as it is expressed. And it is expressed just as you accept it to be. Well, I can attempt to...
Sorry?
I said... I can. Connie. No, I was just saying here's what I think it's saying. I think it's talking about this loop of experience. You know, what I see, I think, what I think I experience. Oh, shoot. I've got it all backwards, don't I? Somebody tell me the right way.
What I think I see. What I see, I experience, and what I experience, I think.
Yeah, Kathy says that's right. Thank you, Kathy. So that however you experience the expression that you're witnessing, whether it's your own expression, the expression of the guy at the restaurant, the expression of the Wells Fargo's bankers, you know, whatever, how I choose to experience that will feed into the next expression, like we were just talking about, both in a microcosmic way and a macrocosmic way, right? I'm going to have the experience that I choose to have upon, you know, my reaction to those experiences. That choice is mine. As well as the way I choose to experience it. You know, if you talk about it in terms of vibrational levels, right? I can choose to remain in this lower vibration and continue to have a crappy experience with that, right? Or I can choose the highest vibrational thought that I'm capable of at the moment, which may be show me how to see this differently. Right, maybe just the willingness and the remembering to that there is a different way, right? But that raises my vibrational choices in the next moment, and in fact, it raises the vibrational choice of the one consciousness. And you know, in old ways of saying this, you might say that raises the vibration of all of humanity, which is just the one consciousness.
Yeah, so basically, we're full circle again. It's seeing every expression as a gift.
Right. Yeah, it's a gift. And, you know, we've certainly talked about in here before, dropped my watch. Part of that gift may be in letting you see what you still believe. You know, I still believe that if I don't employ the thinking mind, then Jacqueline's not going to have a place to live.
Yeah.
So it this is really encouraging us to see that it's all just freedom of an expression with no real effect on the truth of who we are. and just accepting it as an opportunity, accepting it as a roadmap to tell me how deeply I believe the truth, as opposed to, you know, this idea that I'm a person may be the gift value here for me.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like that whole barometer thing where if you have an upset, you could see that as pointing you back to your peace of mind.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
Peace and joy. It's a recognition that you're peace of mind. Either way, it could be a gift.
Right. And Cheryl says, because everything is happening for our good, so we might as well accept the experience. I want to be clear that what our idea of what our good is and what our good actually is are not necessarily the same thing.
Like we were talking about before, whether good in quotes, because is it good based on personhood or is it?
Exactly.
Because everything is in our good is what this is saying.
Yes, this is saying everything is in our good, but it's hard to see sometimes what that means.
Right.
You know, because our good is awaking from the dream, you know.
Yeah. In fact, I was thinking about that during the Peaceful Warrior movie thing and how everything turned out so fantastic in the end and how different it was from Mr. Nobody.
Where everything just turned out.
Everything just turned out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is that because it was, that's the way it really turned out, or is that because it just happened to turn out that way, or is it that because it was a movie for the masses, or?
Well, it's based on his life, Dan Millman's life, so.
Well, it's based on it. And they usually, when they say that, they take some liberties.
Well, and you know, actually, they can say that. There's some movies, maybe Fargo starts that way, where they say based on a true story, and it's not. Because it just kind of draws you in, you know. And then they follow up at the end of Peaceful Warrior with, you know. And actually, he was a trampoline. He wasn't even a rings guy, Dan Millman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you know, then they went on to win the title, and actually part of what and I may have said this in movie group the other night, part of what really touched me was at one point in that scene, he's like, "I'm ready to be of service." At one scene in the movie,
yeah.
And what a service he's actually been, you know, with his books and the movie, and you know, just taking this message out there. So, Kathy wrote, "Good for who?" That's exactly right. Good for who?
Kathy wrote what?
Good for who? When you say, you know, everything is happening for our good, not for the person, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly, Kathy.
Yeah.
She nailed it.
She did. And I remember when Regina interviewed Suzanne Marie. Suzanne Marie said she had after she had an awakening, she had to get used to the idea that didn't mean everything was going to go her way. All this is paraphrasing. But she said, you know, I don't know, some disaster happened and then her brother passed away. And, you know, so it's like, yeah, good for who? Maybe not good for Suzanne Marie, right? The character. Yeah. But there's nothing bad that can happen is the bottom line. That's impossible.
Yeah.
Everything is a gift. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we are on page 380, NTI, 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Teach what you would learn. In order to teach yourself that you are not a person, you must teach others that their personhood is also false. You do this, In order to teach yourself that you are not a person, you must teach others that their personhood is also false. You do this by not believing their personhood yourself. You look beyond their story to the one that you know they must be. And that is what you hold in your mind as you listen to them. In that way, you teach yourself what you would learn, and you silently teach it to them also.
And that's Byron Katie's quote, are you your story?
Mm. Yeah. Well, and this is what you were talking about in that assignment you gave us week before last, you know, about, you know, look for the sameness.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, look for the Christ, right? And we've heard that saying for years, like in Unity, I think it says it. The Christ in me sees the Christ in you. Well, yeah, that's sweet, but... I mean, what this is saying is, really go there, because that's all that's really going on. Anything else is a story that you're making up believing, whether you're believing you're a person, whether you're believing they're a person. It's a story that you're believing, that you're continuing to teach yourself.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And, of course, there's only one thing going on here. There's only one mind. So it's the whole mind is turning towards the truth, with turning towards the recognition that there's only one mind. We remind ourself, capital S self, right? Universal self. We remind ourselves. That's what we're teaching in within the one mind. So in that way, you teach yourself what you would learn, and you silently teach it to them also. Yeah. The mind, capital M, the mind with which you think is that which you are. But this mind has been covered with the mask of personhood. Now, interestingly, in that sentence, both the words mind and think are capitalized.
Yeah, that's a different one.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, usually when we talk about mind and thinking, we're talking about the small T and M.
Yeah, and it's getting ready to talk about that as well. So it's just interesting that it's using those terms in that way. Yeah, the capital M mind with which you capital T think is that which you are, but this mind has been covered with the mask of personhood. When you think within the belief in the mask, you believe that which isn't true. When your belief is placed with the false, you experience that which is false, and the false continues to be reiterated. This is like a level of activity occurring at the level of falsehood. It is like a false vibration of somethingness within nothingness. It is existence experiencing itself as illusion. The loop, exactly, yep. Yeah. The loop, Cheryl says. The loop. Connie's leaning in, reading my lips. Your purpose is to shift the frequency of your vibration by removing your focus from the mask. This is to place your twinkle in alignment with its source, which is your truth. How interesting.
That's funny, your twinkle.
It is funny, I mean, because it makes makes you want to call Regina and go, well, maybe she's here. No, not yet. Or maybe she is. She might be at Ken's already. Twinkle, where did that come from? but you kind of get it, actually, if you're thinking about it as like a facet of the one gem that we are, right? Cheryl's talking about Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. but it came into my mind as if it were, you know, there's only one thing going on here, and it's this one gemstone, right? And I'm on my finger. And the twinkles are just the expressions of that, right? All right. Emanate from that one gemstone, right?
Or one twinkle of the star. I get it, Cheryl.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and the mask, of course, is that facade that we carry around with us that we pretend to be.
And that we invest with our belief. But as it just said, it's like a false vibration of something within nothingness. It is existence experiencing itself as illusion. So your purpose is to shift the frequency of your vibration. By removing your focus from the mask. This is to place your twinkle in alignment with its source, which is your truth. Stay focused on your heart, and you remain in alignment with your source. This is to shift your vibration also. As the vibration is shifted, awareness shifts. And that which was strong in awareness becomes weaker. To shift awareness is like changing frequencies, so that which was strong changes. In this way, you shift from a focus on personhood to the love of our truth by quieting the mind and slowing the vibration of the false. Yeah, and this is what we're talking about a while ago. It's just that consistent willingness to see beyond the illusion. You know, the consistent willingness to let go of belief in the illusion. And whether you do that to let go of the belief in the illusion. The consistent willingness to let go of the belief in the illusion. So whether you're doing that by you know, saying netty netty when you find yourself believing in something, not that, not that. Whether you do that with a mantra, whether you do that with the consistent practice of surrender, what would you have me see now, right? It's all of those shift the vibrations, like you were talking about a while ago, makes room for the miracle, makes room for the shift in perception. By using that higher vibration, you get the higher vibrational choices. Go ahead, Connie.
No, I was just jumping in on what you were saying. And I think the course tells us to ask, what's it for?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's a gift. That's what it's for.
Dummy.
Let's see. In this way, you shift from a focus on personhood to the love of our truth by quieting the mind and slowing the vibration of the false. So you're not in there, you know, creating new stuff, right? Quieting the mind. Quieting the story-making machinery.
Yeah.
A shift in frequency. This is the top of 381 in NTI. A shift in frequency is a shift in vibration. You are the mind that thinks. Again, capital M, capital T. You are the mind that thinks. And a shift in vibration is accompanied by a change in the frequency of thought. To assist
with
in this...
With a small t.
Right. Let's see. Yes. To assist in this shift, focus your thoughts. Focus on the frequency that's God. Stay tuned then with God within the mind that is yours. Where you focus, your vibration shall be. Where you focus, your vibration shall be. Where your vibration is, that shall be your experience. Through a shift in vibration and a change in awareness, the concept of personhood shall be gently laid down. You will not need that which you do not want when the realization of the heart is in focus. Stay focused on the heart. Grace is with you because grace is the love of your heart. Amen.
Amen.
So, we are...
Yeah, I like that. Grace is with you because grace is the love of your heart. Yeah, grace is the love of your heart. That just that benevolent... Mm-hmm. Unconditional love.
Sweet. Yeah, and that's always there. It's always there. Always yeah. here. So, heaven yeah. is within you now.
Yes, there is a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So it's where you, you know, what's in your wallet? Where are you focusing your attention, yeah. right? Are you accepting the gift?
Yeah.
Or are you choosing to continue to... To participate in the lower vibration, continuing to feed the illusion and be fed on, right, in the illusion, in that loop of experience. Are you willing to raise your vibration by shifting your focus to the heart?
Yeah, sweet. What a sweet message.
Really, really sweet. Yeah. What a sweet co-facilitator I got here.
I think as you become more enlightened, I become more loving.
Or something like that. Let's see. All right. Hope you feel better tomorrow, Kathy says.
Thank you, Kathy. That's really sweet. I need that.
Yeah. And we love you guys. We appreciate the opportunity to teach what we would learn. And Cheryl says, yeah, I'll feel good.
Thank you.
And
it's a pure, in fact, I started to participate tonight because I was feeling crappy. But so thank you all from the bottom of my heart for letting me cough in your ears.
That's sweet. Yeah. And Kathy says, thanks for showing up. All right, guys. We love you.
Bye,
and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.